That is what makes honor unconditional. The gospel makes honor unconditional. And so, you know, if honor is unconditional and honor is a mindset and a posture that we live towards others, and he also talked about the story where Jesus went back to his hometown to preach, and he was not met with honor. He was met with offense and judgment. And Mark 6:4 says, you know, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. And it later goes on to say, because of how they received him, he could not perform miracles there. And so what that tells me, honor is not just pleasantries. Honor is not just being nice and being polite. There's something supernatural about honor. Honor is a kingdom and heavenly principle. Honor is a conduit for blessing. Think about that for a minute. Because Jesus was not met with the appropriate honor, he could not bless them. He could not perform miracles there. And so there's more at stake here than just making the world a nice place to be. If we're not living our lives with the theme and with that's laced with honor, then there's, and Wendy likes to use this term, there's kinks in our hoses. We're preventing things from flowing to and through us if we're not living our lives in honoring ways. And so the Bible paints this picture that honor is the conduit and the means for which honor and influence, which is why it's so important for us to honor our authorities, honor the people over us, because those are the people who are supposed to be blessing and influencing us. And so if you don't have honor in place in those relationships, then those relationships aren't going to be productive. And so honor is the primary conduit for honor, for blessing and influence to flow. Both ways. Honor has to be present for us to receive blessing and influence. And honor has to be there for us to bless and influence. So there's a lot at stake here. It's really important for us to get this if we're going to live full lives in the Lord and to show people what the culture of heaven is like. And once you get it, if you're like me, once that clicks, once that revelation happens of what honor is, then all of a sudden you're going to start asking yourself, what have I been missing out on this whole time because I haven't been getting this? Because I had this kink in my hose, what have I not been allowing to flow in or flow out of my life? Back in 2009, I had just started the world race, and so our first stop was the Dominican Republic. And we were remote. Like they put us in this village on top of a mountain somewhere. For those of you who speak Spanish, the name of the town was Los Frios, which just means the cold. And so that's where we were for a month. We were just stuck in the cold for a month in the Dominican Republic. And then the next month we were in Haiti, and same thing, that kind of stuck us in the middle of nowhere in this orphanage that was literally surrounded by armed guards because the voodoo witch doctors were trying to break in and harm the kids for their ceremonies. And so it was literally by armed guard. So needless to say, those first 2 months, we didn't get out too much. And so we all come together in Santo Domingo, the capital of the Dominican Republic, for about a week or two for this big debrief. And so our whole squad, which is about 70 people, come together, and we catch up and we rest up and everything. And so I'm excited. I'm like, oh man, we're going to be in the city. Okay, we can finally kind of get out a little bit and have a good time. And we get to this YWAM base we're staying at. And the very first things they tell us, they're kind of listing all the rules out, like, stay put. There's just so many of us, and Santo Domingo can be kind of a sketchy place. We're not going anywhere. And I was like, so anyway, I made friends with one of the staff members there, and so one day I'm sitting there, bored, and he's walking out. I'm like, hey, man, where are you off to? And he goes, oh, I guess I'm running the store, gotta run some errands, stuff like that. I'm like, can I come? He's like, yeah. And I grabbed a couple of people with me, like, yeah, that's, I don't care. So we went and hopped in the van with him. He took off and just went to the store, you know, got some ice cream. He showed us around Santo Domingo a little bit. It was fine. But we pull back in, and our squad leaders are out there pacing. I was like, oh, crap. And so we get there, like, where were you? And there, it's a whole scene, you know. And so we get inside. But what made it worse is they actually weren't the ones to punish us. Our squad coaches punished us. And so the hierarchy of the world race is you have your whole squad, which is about 70 people, and they're broken up into teams. And so you have your team leaders, your squad leaders, and you have your squad coaches. And your squad coaches are really there to support your squad leaders. And they're like they're usually a little older, and they're kind of meant to be the mom and dad of the group. You know, they're meant to kind of be that voice of a mom and dad in the team, and to support the squad leaders. Speaking as someone who eventually would become a squad leader, they're there to say almost the same thing you're saying, but because they're saying it, they'll listen to them about it. You know, Wendy gets mad at me because, you know, we've done like marriage counseling throughout our marriage sometimes, and she'll say things to me, but then like our marriage counselor will say the exact same thing. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And she's like, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm like, yeah, but she said it so much better than you. But so it's the same kind of concept there. And so we're sitting in front of our coaches, and he gives me my first real lesson on honor. And he goes, Tim, you need to understand something. When you sow dishonor as a leader or as a follower, you'll reap dishonor as a leader. So I'm making you a team leader. That's exactly how that conversation went. And that was a really bad punishment. That punishment did not fit the crime. I was in my early 20s. I was 23 years old, and that was the first time someone really sat me down and explained the importance of honor to me. That was the first time that a spiritual leader said, you know, as a believer, you know, we need to take this thing seriously. So, but like anything else, before we can really grasp what honor is horizontally, when I say horizontally, I mean with each other, we have to understand what honor is vertically. We have to honor God in our lives if we're going to consistently and regularly honor each other. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be unpacking that. What does it look like to honor God? What does it mean to give God honor? After all, I would say make the same argument that John does, where we love God because He first loved us. We honor God because He first honored us. Again, going back to the gospel, the work on the cross, what Jesus did, it was honor. Jesus died for us. Jesus died while we were still sinners, while we were still His adversary. He died for us because He saw value in who we are. He saw His image in who we are even when we were in sin and we were living destructive lives. The cross is the greatest example of honor we could ever look to. And so what does it look like to return that honor back to Him? So the first thing we need to understand when we honor God is we got to understand who we're honoring. And so that's where you have to kind of understand the Godhead. You know, the there is a Trinity. God is three in one. You have the Father, you have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we tend to latch on to one of them. You know, we tend to latch on the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit. But really, in C.S. Lewis calls this the divine dance. You know, that's how C.S. Lewis refers to the Trinity. He says it's the divine dance. You have three people with one goal. You have three people that share one heart. And so a good example is creation. Let's talk about creation for a minute. So if you go back in Genesis, the Father is there speaking everything into existence. The Spirit is there hovering over the waters. And then we read later on in Paul's letters that Jesus was there because everything was made by Him, for Him, and through Him. So you have the three members of the Godhead doing, you know, with the same goal, but all doing different things. What about our salvation? Obviously, you have Jesus who came and was reincarnated, died the death that we deserve, and then was raised again on the third day. You have the Father who sent Him. You also have the Father that Paul says that the Father actually gives us the faith we need to believe in the finished work of the cross. And then once we receive Jesus and we pray that prayer, we receive the Holy Spirit who then lives inside of us and sanctifies us. One goal, three different parts, three different roles and by three different members of the Godhead. So I see all that to say, like, if we're going to worship, if we're going to honor God, we have to honor him for who he is and what he does in our lives. So let's talk about Jesus first. Because he definitely did a lot of heavy lifting, you know, for what he did. And Jesus also said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So, you know, how we relate to Jesus, how we honor Jesus is reflected in the Father as well. So we're kind of, when we talk about Jesus, we're kind of killing two birds with one stone. We're talking about Jesus and the Father. So we'll go ahead and talk about that. But the hard thing about Jesus, I feel like, in our society is, you know, we live in the Bible Belt. So I feel like with Jesus, we've almost gotten too comfortable with Jesus. Jesus is too common. And so a lot of the nouns or the adjectives we use to describe Jesus, we talk a lot about how he's our forgiver and he's our savior and he's our friend, which are all true. The problem with those is those really aren't who Jesus is. They're things that Jesus does, but they're not who he is. And so if we are going to honor him, and we're going to receive from him, and we're going to allow him to do a work in us, we have to see him for who he really is. 1 John 3:2, John's talking about, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So what John is saying is that our transformation and our sanctification comes when we acknowledge and see God for who he really is. So it's really important for us to think the right things and to believe the right things about who Jesus is. And if we're going to do that, we have to understand what it means that he's the Christ. So first of all, Christ is not his last name. Jesus Christ is not his last name. Christ is a title. And so what Christ actually means is, when you look at Christ in the Hebrew, Christ literally means God's final anointed king. That's what Christ means. King Jesus. He's a king. He's the king, and he's in his throne right now in heaven. He's king. And he's alive. He's got, like, he has, if you were to go to heaven right now, he has a pulse. He has air in his lungs. So savior. Yes, save is what King Jesus does, but it's not who he is. It doesn't encompass all of who he is. Advocate. Yes, he does advocate for us to the Father. He is interceding for us in the Father right now. But advocate isn't all of who he is. King is who he is. He's a king. So what does that mean? How does that change things for us? You know, that's kind of a cultural king is kind of a cultural concept that we're removed from, because we don't have a king, we have a president, you know, and because we have freedom of speech in a democracy, we can kind of say or do whatever we want to, you know, right or wrong, you know, that's just kind of how we are. We have very little honor for our members and political authority. But I think that one of the big things with a king is you don't negotiate with a king. I think because we've gotten so comfortable with Jesus, and we've gotten and Jesus has gotten so common with us, we like to kind of enter into negotiations with him sometimes. We like to read what he says, and whether we come out and say it or not, we go, okay, well, I'll do this, but not that. Or when you feel that nudging from the Holy Spirit of, okay, like, I want you to do this. I'm calling you to do something. And then all of a sudden you go, well, what's in it for me? What's this going to mean for my bank account? What's this going to mean for my house? What's this going to mean for my comfort level? And the thing we have to understand about a king is a king doesn't need a reason or an outcome. What the king says goes. That's how kings operate. And if our outcome is more important than our obedience, then we're actually not followers. We're users. I'm going to say that again because things got kind of quiet when I said that. If our outcome is more important than our obedience, we're not followers, we're users. And if we're really honest here, how many of us aren't following Jesus, we're using Jesus? We're not in this for Jesus, we're in this for Jesus' stuff. And that's not very honoring. We can't honor Jesus and use Jesus at the same time. Those things just aren't congruent. So, in John 13, 3 through 4, this is where things kind of begin to change. I got to figure this out. So, John 13, 3 through 4, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Jesus demonstrated honor. He washed his disciples' feet. Did you guys know that in Jesus' time, the act of foot washing was considered to be such a lowly, grotesque act? They actually wouldn't even let the Jewish slaves do it. They would save that act for the Gentile slaves. So you've got this act of foot washing that they wouldn't even let the lowest member of Jewish society do. They'd save that for the Gentiles. And King Jesus. And it says, and what do you think is significant about the fact that he did it after he knew that the Father had put all things under his power? So once he knew he had authority over all things, he went straight for honor. Again, this idea that honor is a conduit for blessing and influence. So we honor God because he first honored us. We are obedient. We don't get to choose what following Jesus looks like. We don't get to decide. We don't get to open the book and read what he says and pick and choose what we're going to do and not do. I will say it's impossible without the Holy Spirit. We're going to get to that in a minute. But what we like to live below the bar that he set for us and then go, oh, well, that's what grace is for. Grace is there because we can't do it, which is true. Grace is there because we can't do it. But that's also why the Holy Spirit is there. And that brings me to the next thing. So we honor Jesus by acknowledging who he is, that he is a king that we follow and that we are obedient to, not a king that we negotiate with and we use. We honor Jesus by seeing him as a king and being obedient to all of the things he says to us. And when we honor Jesus, we honor the Father, because Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We honor the Holy Spirit by acknowledging him for who he is and what he's here for. And if our problem with Jesus is he's too common, I would say the Holy Spirit is the opposite problem. We're not familiar with the Holy Spirit at all, I feel like. Which is probably a cultural thing. Our culture is not a very spiritual culture. You know, we kind of have a hard time wrapping our minds around like the Spirit and kind of you know, ethereal, you know, we're not a very spiritual society. So when we have something like the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, we kind of don't know what to do about that. But the Holy Spirit is a member of the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit dwells with us. So while the Father and Jesus are in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is the one who's actually with us right now. God is with us because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Let's read a little bit about what it says about the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? who is in you, whom you received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So part of honoring the Holy Spirit is understanding that we house the Spirit of God. God literally put the best of himself inside of us. And so when we don't think about our bodies in terms of, you know, we're just some, you know, evolved animal, but we're actually housing the Spirit of God, how does that change about the way you treat yourself? If you honor your bodies because they literally house the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? Paul even talks about later about don't lie with prostitutes because you're literally joining the temple of God to a prostitute. He talks about how all other sins are outside the body, but sexual sin involves the body, the temple of God. There's things that we do to ourselves that actually grieve the Holy Spirit inside of us because you're doing it to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's with you. A lot of Christians don't understand this. They don't understand that you and the Holy Spirit are a package deal. You and God are a package deal. And the things that you do to yourself, you're actually putting the Holy Spirit through as well. So part of honoring God is honoring yourself. Part of honoring the Holy Spirit is understanding that he has come into you to empower you and to dwell with you because that has been his desire since the garden. And he's patient and he's loving and he's tender. And he puts up with the crap we put him through because he loves us. And he wants to be with us no matter what that means. But be careful how you treat yourself because you're doing it to whatever you do to yourself, you're doing to the Holy Spirit also. John 14:26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to us. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see things for how they actually are. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live the way that Jesus told us to live. And this is how it all comes full circle. We honor Jesus by doing the things he tells us to do. We honor the Holy Spirit by allowing him to help us with these things. Guys, I can't tell you how many times I've said, Holy Spirit, I do not want to forgive this person. Help me forgive this person. Holy Spirit, I don't want to do this. I just don't. I don't want to do this. And every time we're honest with God, every time we ask the Holy Spirit for help, every time we go to the Holy Spirit and need our hearts changed to reflect his word, or every time we need our minds changed to believe what he believes, we're opening ourselves up for the Holy Spirit to do something miraculous in us. Guys, I haven't been a pastor that long, but I've been a pastor and lived in the earth long enough to know that true transformation, for someone to actually change, and not just change their behavior, but to actually change from the heart out, that's supernatural. People don't just do that. People don't change like that in their lives. So when I see it happen, I know it's God. I know it's a work of the Holy Spirit. I've seen people change their behavior for 5, 6, 7, 8, sometimes 10 years, but then they would go back to their old habits. But for someone to, in the core of their being, actually change, that's a miracle. That's supernatural. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happens when we invite him into our lives and we subject ourselves to what he wants to do and we ask him for help and we ask him to empower us. I mean, Jesus even said, like, we'll do greater things than him. That's a whole other sermon. that's a whole other series. But the Holy Spirit, we cannot live the life that Jesus told us to live without the Holy Spirit helping us. Not only does he change our hearts and minds so that we want to do it, but he actually works in our lives and gives us the power to do it. And it's not just about being better people. It's not about loving our enemies. It's not about forgiving people. It's not about that stuff. It's about healing the sick. It's about living our lives with power in a way that people can't explain. And the only thing they can do is look at Jesus. It's about stepping out in faith, knowing that God is with you because he's in you. Living that way might seem a little arrogant to people because you go into Local Roots coffee shop and you can say, okay, God's here because I am. And what's going to happen next? I don't know, but I have the Holy Spirit. I've had literal conversations with people and I've walked away like, I have no idea what I just said. But Jesus said the Holy Spirit would speak through us. So we honor God and we honor Jesus and the Father and we honor the Holy Spirit because of who they are, because they first honored us. And honoring the Holy Spirit and honoring Jesus allows us and empowers us to honor each other. And honoring God, honoring King Jesus, honoring the Holy Spirit and honoring the Father creates that conduit, unkinks that hose so that we can receive all the things that he wants for us. Because remember, honor is a conduit for blessing. Honor is a conduit for transformation and influence. So if we're not honoring God, we're not receiving all that he has for us. And we're not allowing him to change us into his image. So to honor him, we have to see him for who he really is. You have to treat him, and we have to treat him so. So I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know, you know, what the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you. But I think this is a good time. If you've never done so, or if you need to, it's a good time to submit to King Jesus. It's a good time to submit to him as King. Sometimes our bodily posture can kind of influence our spiritual posture. There's times where, I don't do this all the time, but there's times like I get on my knees. Like we don't get on our knees and pray much anymore. Like I get on my knees as a reminder of like I'm talking to the King. Yes, I have a place at the throne. Yes, I'm welcomed to the throne of grace with confidence, but it's still a throne. And so sometimes I bow and I get on my knees and I pray. And so we're just going to take some time to acknowledge Jesus for who he is. And if you need to submit, then this is a great time to submit. And if you've been ignoring the Holy Spirit and grieving the Holy Spirit, now's a great time to acknowledge the Holy Spirit for who he is and to repent to him and say you're sorry. Because we can't do this without him. We can't. It's impossible. We're not supposed to. So King Jesus, we honor you. We honor you, King Jesus. And any rebellious, any obstinate part of us who thinks that we can pick and choose how we follow you, we can choose to do this but ignore this. Any part of us that doesn't care about that where our outcome of following you is more important than the obedience of following you, Lord, we repent. We lay that at your feet. Anywhere in us that wants to use you and not follow you, King Jesus, we just repent. And we submit to your kingly rule. We submit to your throne that you have the best way. Thank you, King Jesus, for your grace. Thank you, King Jesus, that you honored us first. And we love you. And Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you. We acknowledge your presence in our lives. We acknowledge your presence in our bodies. And for all the ways that we need to repent to you for ignoring you, for taking you for granted, for grieving you for how we've treated ourselves. Holy Spirit, thank you that you've chosen us to be your temples. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you've chosen us to reside in and dwell in forever. Help us to not take that for granted. Help us to live our lives in the way that Jesus told us to, empower us in all the ways that we need to be empowered to live what the Bible says, to live out the commands of King Jesus, and to change us into his image. That we as a body, we as individuals, would reflect your goodness, and our church would reflect heaven. It's in your name we pray, amen.